Cause who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think old England's done?
My name is Paul Joel, and I was the production designer on Dad's Army for 55, I think it was, of the 80 episodes that was recorded and transmitted. I had a 30-year career at the BBC, and I would say that the period for designing Dad's Army was one of the best I could remember, and most enjoyable, great fun, and wonderful working with David Cross in particular. I didn't have quite so much to do with Jimmy. But it was a really good time in my career. I got James as Van here. Can you see that? A BBC model of James's van. It was a van that I sourced with the help of the property master then. And it was in a pretty bad state, so we had to have it repaired and make it work properly. And then I went to work on it myself. With the graphics, because it was a completely blank side and so on. And it was actually far too big, really, for a butcher's van, but it did give a great deal of scope for Jimmy and David to explore more comedy with it. As you know, it was a very important member of the platoon. But it was it was a great prop, and I thoroughly enjoyed working on that. It was something physically I could do, and something I could decorate in a way that gave Jones a character. I mean, it was one of Jones's characters. Definitely the most complicated set was the one where the German parachutist was had come down and landed on the town hall clock. And that was quite the most extraordinary amount of building and prop work and teamwork to get that done in time, especially with the constrictions that were placed on us in the studio. That was full time on their hands, wasn't it? And we had, we were going to have the largest studio, which would have been great. And we were also going to have a complete day set, which was very, very necessary because it was such a large set built on scaffolding and at quite a height. There were enormous numbers of props and things to be built. All overnight this time, and then, you know, with rehearsals coming up, it interfered with the amount of time that the cast were able to get the moves right in that. And it was really complicated for them, especially Clive Dunn and those little figures. it was a seriously complicated piece, and I just don't know how we managed to get through it all and record it so that it looked passably good. I think it's actually some people's favourite episode, I think, isn't it? This was part of that set had to be built in a tank to specific designs from the studio managers, because it was dangerous having water in the studio. So the set had to be a certain size within this tank and safe. And we had as much water as we could afford to have in the studio to do the action. And but of course the water also had to rise inside this small basement set where they were trapped. And in order to do that, we built the set behind a large curtain, and when it came to making it look as though the water had risen, we actually had the set come down into the water, so that it looked as though the water had risen, but we had actually dropped it into the water. And then we took the curtains back, and it was the very first time I've ever had a set that had a round of applause. Now that was interesting to do. So about one third of the floor area of the studio would have been given over to audience seating, which was already there in the wall of the studio, which was simply pulled down. But that meant that me as a designer would only have one third of the studio left to actually put sets in, because the rest would be taken up with cameras and equipment. So, yes, it was all, we always had as large an audience as the seating would allow, and they really enjoyed themselves. It's the one where Arthur Lowe and his brother, his strange drunken brother, are together, and Arthur plays them both in a brilliant way, absolutely. I just wish I'd been there to see it happen, because it was a beautiful episode, superbly acted by Arthur. I mean, there are lots of others, there really are, but that one is one that remains in my mind as being one that I would love to have done. I'd also love to have done the very last one, because a colleague and myself designed the very first one. Wonderful to have the sort of continuity of doing the first and the last. But here we are. Now, Arthur and his brother was brilliant. Favourite character? Well, I don't know. Because we got on so well together, I think my favourite character was Pike. Ian Lavender and myself, he was the youngest member of the platoon, and I was more or less the same age as him, I think. And we got on fine, especially when we were on location. We played bar billiards and darts and all sorts of things whilst the others were drinking in the bar. So, yes, Ian is my friend. I spoke to Ian quite recently, and I don't think he's been very well, which is such a shame, but we did have a little conversation, which was very nice to, look back on memories of Dad's Army with him. Yes, but not very much again. He was a very charming man, charming to absolutely everybody, particularly the women. But that's all I can say about him, really. We enjoyed his performances, and he was elegant and charming, and we all thought he was great. James, it's so sad. It was so sudden as well. James was a great character, a great laugh. And he was also a cartoonist. I don't know whether you know that, but he loved drawing cartoons, and he made cartoons of all of the members of the cast. And crew as well, although I missed out. I was one of the people who didn't get a cartoon. But there we are, it's another regret. He was a great character. We used to go out filming before we did the recording in the studio, and we almost always went to the west top area of Norfolk, which was near to where David Croft had his own house and property. And it was owned by the MOD, Ministry of Defence, who allowed us to use the land. It was quite expensive, many, many acres, including forest and green areas. And there were even buildings on the place. And they were used as target practice, so I wasn't able to take advantage of any of the buildings that were there. So it was very, very useful location. Yeah. And there were others, of course. Once the MOD said, "I'm terribly sorry, chap, but we're using it for war games, and can you film somewhere else?" And we rather quickly went down to a place in or near Brighton to do an episode that was all interiors. That was always the only time we ever didn't use Westcott. There were other locations as well, Windmill and various rivers and so on, but that was the main area. Yes, he did sort of scout for locations, I mean, and I did too, but I didn't have to scout very far, of course. Eventually, Harold took over some direction as well. And I don't think I ever did one where he directed it. But, he was there all the time because he was David Payne, of course. The last one was the one where Jimmy had died, and they made out that he'd left the platoon to go back to London or somewhere and left a note on him with somebody, in Church Hall. I'd forgotten what that was called. There wasn't much needed design on that one. No, that was specified by David and Jimmy, I suppose, and agreed with the graphics department as to how the credits were done. And they were usually done in an order that was well known to the BBC, so that the director or producer or director slash producer was always the last person, and lucky for me, I was always the penultimate one. But that wasn't my decision. That was a BBC graphic decision. It was a team thing. It wasn't, a designer. You worked with a whole team of people to put it all together and to have your design built and props sourced and team of people in the studio to put it all together with you. It does lead to lots of good memories, but to be absolutely specific would be difficult for me, I'm afraid. One special memory for me was actually when we went into the fields to gather in the harvest. The type almost like that, wasn't it? We all gathered in. For some reason, they wanted an old lady to play music actually there, and I suppose when they're having a break or something. And I provided them with my organ, the Hammond organ. So we brought in this Hammond organ and plonked it in the field, near to the threshing machine, and she played on it, and that was mine. That was something that I owned, and so I thought, well, let's give it a day out, and after that we'll give it to the props department, and they can have it for whatever else they want. It was nice thing. That was a lovely episode too. With Clive Dundee beside the threshing machine. Really funny one, that. Well, I've got this. Because I've contributed to quite a number of things over the years, since that diamond was made. And, this is a, my wife's just given me something which hangs on our wall, and that is in Singapore. That they're all portraits, can you see that? And something which an artist we met named Keith Turley And he painted this in 1994 as a tribute to Dad's Army, putting all of their all of the characters in there, together with lots of props as well. And that is a memory that we have, which we have on our wall all the time. Look forward to seeing how it's coming out. Thank you very much. If you think that is-